been characterized as a type of political Super Bowl in the United States. The president's annual message to Congress and the opposing party's response. We're covering both in today's show. I'm Carl Azus. Last night, U.S. President Joe Biden delivered his first annual message to a joint session of Congress. As we mentioned earlier this week, this wasn't technically a State of the Union address, though it has many of the same elements and traditions. When a president does this for the first time, the thinking goes that the leader hasn't been in office long enough to be an authority on the actual State of the Union. So, annual message is the term used to describe this kind of speech. It's still done in person. It's traditionally delivered in front of U.S. senators and representatives and their guests, members of the president's cabinet, members of the U.S. Supreme Court. The president doesn't just discuss the status of where things are. The speech is a chance for the leader to lay out a vision for the country in the year ahead. It's televised and shown online. It's covered in the news for days afterward. And all of this has grown out of a sentence in the U.S. Constitution that says, quote, "He shall from time to time give to the Congress information on the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient." According to the House of Representatives, President Biden's speech last night was the 98th time a U.S. leader delivered an address like this in person. We don't have a word count on it yet, though these speeches tend to average around 5,000 to 6,000. The shortest was President George Washington's in 1790. It had fewer than 1,100 words. The longest written speech was President Jimmy Carter's in 1981. It had more than 33,000 words. So what words did President Biden use to discuss what he judges necessary and expedient? Here are some highlights from his annual message.
100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Now, after just 100 days, I can report to the nation, America is on the move again. American jobs, Sam, will add millions of jobs and trillions of dollars to economic growth in the years to come. It is a 8-year program. These are good paying jobs that can't be outsourced. Nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created in the American Jobs Plan do not require a college degree. I'm the first president in 40 years and knows what it means to have a son serving in a war zone. Today we have service members serving in the same war zone as their parents did. We have service members in Afghanistan who are not yet born on 9/11. The war in Afghanistan, as we remember the debates here, were never meant to be multi-generational undertakings of nation building. We went to Afghanistan to get terrorists, the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11. My fellow Americans, we have to come together to rebuild trust between law enforcement and the people they serve, to root out systemic racism in our criminal justice system, and to enact police reform in George Floyd's name. The very moment our adversaries were certain we'd pull apart and fail, we came together, we united. With light and hope, we summoned a new strength, new resolve to position us to win the competition of the 21st century. On our way to a union more perfect, more prosperous, and more just, as one people, one nation, and one America. Folks, as I told every world leader I've ever met with over the years, it's never, ever, ever been a good bet to bet against America, and it still isn't. We're the United States of America. There's not a single thing, nothing beyond our capacity. We can do whatever we set our minds to if we do it together. So let's begin to get together. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you for your patience.
Okay, as we mentioned, another event associated with the president's annual message is the opposing political party's response. This has been a tradition since the 1960s, and as President Biden is a Democrat, last night's speaker representing the Republican Party is U.S. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. The politician and businessman has been serving in the Senate since 2013. Here are some highlights from the GOP response.
Our president seems like a good man. His speech was full of good words. But our nation is starving for more than empty platitudes. We need policies and progress that brings us closer together. But 3 months in, the actions of the president and his party are pulling us further and further apart. Republicans support everything you think of when you think of infrastructure. Roads, bridges, ports, airports, waterways, high-speed broadband. We're in for all of that. Less than 6% of the president's plan goes to roads and bridges. It's a liberal wish list of big government waste, plus the biggest job-killing tax hikes in a generation. We should be expanding opportunities and options for all families, not throwing money at certain issues because Democrats think they know best. Nowhere do we need common ground more desperately than in our discussions of race. My friends across the aisle seem to want the issue more than they wanted a solution. Race is not a political weapon to settle every issue the way one side wants. It's far too important. I am standing here because my mom has prayed me through some really tough times. I believe our nation has succeeded the same way because generations of Americans in their own ways have asked for grace and God has supplied it.
10-second trivia. Which of these famous awards was established first? Academy Awards, Pulitzer Prize, Fields Medal, or Newbery Medal? Dating back to 1917, the Pulitzer Prize is the oldest award on this list. The award recognizes outstanding work in the fields of music, drama, literature, and journalism. But there are some types of work in the journalism field that may not win reporters a Pulitzer, but they're still outstanding for the way the reporters remain standing when things go wrong. Take, for instance, when animals attack a newscast.
Even a certified meteorologist couldn't forecast this.
You might want a windscreen later in the afternoon. Whoa, whoa, whoa! What is going on?
A flapping bird in this Sacramento weather cam didn't exactly leave Adam Epstein unflappable.
Mainly dry. Mainly rain. Sorry, I'm all mixed up. I'm still thinking about that bird.
But this latest bird photo bomb is far from the first.
Here over the city. Look at this.
He's totally checking out the camera, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not quite a scene out of the birds. But seagulls have been sighted.
An advisory from okay, that is distracting.
We're not just talking birds that are camera hogs.
Oh my gosh, it's back.
And the spiders.
Whoa. Whoa!
And even more spiders.
And for our area. So let's oh my gosh, that was creepy.
At least with the weather cam, the critters are on the other side of the lens.
Your garden of bugs or flying onto my head.
Or capitulating to bison at the entrance to Yellowstone.
Oh my god. Oh no, I ain't messing with you. Oh no.
Or warding off raccoons on the White House lawn.
Get!
Heaving a footstool.
Rah!
But that itsy bitsy spider doesn't look so itsy to a meteorologist who's bugging out.
Oh, I just don't like that. Okay, I gotta move it.
Ginny Mouse.
This is so cool.
Well, the first meteorologist had to weather a burden. The white bird had a lot of gall. The bee wouldn't buzz off, and the spiders tried to make a newscast a webcast. Bison bring a buffalo load of anxiety, and it's hard to track down raccoons because they're masks. So the moral of the story is, whether you are in the field or you're in the studio, you risk being dogged by visitors. I'm Carlos Seuss for CNN 10. South Plainfield High School is in South Plainfield, New Jersey. You get today's shout-out.